Chapter 1. 454008.M31. Perceptron System, Ultramar. The war had been won in 27 minutes, though the battle still raged on 163 days later. 27 minutes. That had been how long it had taken for his ships to cripple the Ultramarines' fleet above Perceptron Primus. The enemy had not yet heard about Kalth, nor of Armatura, Talasar, or any of the countless other war zones targeted as part of the Shadow Crusade. The chronometer had clicked over, and he had given the order. The word-bearers struck. Over half the enemy flotilla was lost in the opening salvos, the rest in the hours and days after. The wreckage now orbited the capital planet, the heart of this system. Thus, the war for Perceptron was won in 27 minutes. In the months that followed, all that remained was to complete the cull. 164 days after that initial strike, the world of Perceptron Primus ended. 132006.M31. Terror. From orbit, it was possible to see the coastlines that once delineated the continents of old Terra. The vast ocean tracts that had covered the globe were gone, vaporized during the long internecine nuke wars that almost obliterated humanity in bygone ages. But the original shapes could still be vaguely discerned, like ghosts of the past, though most clearly in darkness. It was the lights that revealed them. While the entire planet shone like a beacon in the void, lit by the glow of the hives, megacities, and highways, the lights were brightest upon the old continents, the darker tracts of land marked where the seas had once been, or along the straight, unnaturally angular coastlines of the newer, artificial oceans. Ethereal green aurorae shimmered over the southern horizon, while great chemstorm shrouded the rad-scarred lands to the north, flickering with an almost constant strobe of lightning. It was not in those directions that the lander was headed, however. As its golden wings unfolded, and the glow of re-entry faded from its thermal shields, it angled its descent towards the very roof of the world. Within the enclosed cabin, Saw Talgron sat alone, looking out of the viewport. One immense, grey-gauntleted hand shielded his view from the shuttle's interior illumination.
"Refreshment, Captain?"
Saw Talgron glanced away from the port. The interior of the shuttle was all gently curved surfaces, subtle lighting and neutral tones. His synth-leather seat was large enough to accommodate his oversized bulk and considerable comfort. The remaining 11 passenger seats were unoccupied, though there were others on board. Even though he could not currently see them, he could taste their gene-forged scent in the recycled air, at once familiar and yet strange, as well as sense the faint hum of their armour. The attendant who had spoken was unnaturally tall and willowy, and her large oval eyes were milky orbs bereft of pupils. Gene manipulation had given her this form, though for what purpose he could not fathom. Perhaps humans found her appearance pleasing to the eye. Perhaps they tampered with her genes simply because they could.
"Sweet nectar, Amasek,"
she said, gesturing languidly at the refrigerated cart that hovered before her.
"Something else?"
He shook his head and turned back towards the viewport. He saw his own reflection there, frowning back at him. While he was not sure what a human would find appealing in the soft, pale features of the shuttle attendant, he knew what they would find unattractive about his own. His face was square and hard, brutish. It was not the face of a scholar or a statesman. A lifetime of battle had flattened his features, and ugly scarring crisscrossed his face and scalp. His own role in the universe could not be mistaken. He was a warrior, a soldier, a killer. It was what he had been made for, a role he had been genetically altered to perform, and it was what he was good at. It was his purpose. Servo motors in the joints of his armor whined as he leaned in close to the glass once more, blotting out the glare and his own grim reflection. His eyes scanned the world below as the shuttle's descent leveled. He saw the burning thrusters of golden interceptor escorts flying off the wingtip, guiding them in. Saw Talgron stared unblinking, absorbing all that he saw. It was still some time before he would arrive at his destination, flying over the single largest man-made structure the universe had ever seen. Even so, on the very outskirts of that immense, continent-spanning megastructure, it was apparent to Saw Talgron that it was being fundamentally altered. When he had left Terra, the structure below had been a palace. He returned to find it well on the way to being transformed into a fortress. Saw Talgron walked through fire, flanked by Araneth, his standard-bearer, and Dal'ak, master of signal. All three wore dark crimson armour, the colour of pooled blood. The heavy warplate had received the new Legion colours while en route to Ultramar, but it did not sit well with him. It felt like a betrayal of the Legion's past. Around them, centuries of learning and wisdom were being destroyed, filling the scorched air with ash and the fluttering pages of burning books. Thousands of texts and codices were forever lost as librarium databanks were put to the torch, circuitry and silicon-based memory cores melting and crackling in the flames. Saw Talgron did not mourn this loss. The Great Chamber was filled with dust. Clearly it had been abandoned after the Nykeia Edict came into effect. It was highly probable that none had walked its halls since that time. Until today, when it had become a battleground. Flames licked at his pauldrons as he strode through the aftermath of the battle, coloured glass crunching underfoot. The immense glassaic windows that had looked down upon the cavernous, librarious atrium would have been an early casualty in the battle for the city of Massilia. Bodies, turned to ragged meat by bolter fire, lay splattered across the floor and against the walls. Four word-bearers were dead, dropped by killshots. Several others were down, being attended by the Legion's apothecaries. Two bore fatal injuries and were given release, their prayers dying upon their lips. The gene seed of the dead was extracted, reductors whirring, spitting bone and blood. A number of the fallen Ultramarines were not yet gone, but there were no 13th Legion apothecaries to come to their aid, nor any living battle brothers to drag them to safety. In another battalion, perhaps, their lives would have ended in torment after countless hours of agony and ritual debasement. But Saw Talgron would have none of that, and they were dispatched without ceremony. They were the enemy, and he would do everything in his power to see them defeated, utterly and completely, but he could not hate them, and he would not see them tortured needlessly. There was much to admire about the 13th Legion. Their cohesion and discipline in battle was enviable, their execution beyond compare. They were, without a doubt, the most effective fighting force that Saw Talgron had ever faced, and he respected them greatly.
It is Erebus's wish that every enemy taken alive be sacrificed to feed the Ruin Storm, Jerelek had stated at the outset of the System War. This is to be done across all the 500 worlds.
Erebus be damned, had been Saw Talgron's response. The snake does not command me. My orders are to kill this world. I will do it my way.
He walked from the atrium, past soaring white marble pillars, pocked and cratered by bolter fire. Beyond was a broad semicircular terrace, bordered by natural stone and immaculately maintained foliage, now churned to ruin. A waterfall fell into a pool in the rock, where bodies floated face down. Sweeping marble stairs descended to lower levels of the concourse. Saw Talgron walked past a towering white statue depicting a robed figure in a thoughtful, seated pose. An Ultramarine's legionary lay on the ground. He had been cut in half by gunfire. His lower torso and legs were nearby. Blood had pooled beneath him, and his insides were spilled out onto the terrace. But he was alive. Legionaries did not die easily. Araneth levelled his bolt pistol at him.
No,
said Saur Talgron, and his standard-bearer lowered his weapon. The ultramarine was of a centurion's rank, a fellow captain, as indicated by the insignia on his shoulder plates. He was clasping his innards with one hand, trying vainly to hold them in, while with his other he was dragging himself along the ground. A Volkite Serpenta pistol lay nearby. He fumbled for it. Even as he died, he sought a weapon to use against his enemies. Saw Talgron's boot crunched down on his wrist, and he stooped to pick up the Serpenta himself. He turned it over in his hands.
This is a good weapon, he said.
The ultramarine looked up at him. His helmet was in place, a Mark IV variant, some ultramar localized pattern. Its once pristine cobalt blue surface and gold-rimmed edges were splattered with blood, rich and bright. A golden wreath had been painted around the temples, some battle honour that Saur Talgron did not recognise.
Why?
Asked the legionary. His voice was crackling and bled with static. Saur Talgron placed the barrel of the Volkite pistol to the ultramarine's visor lens, aiming it squarely into his left eye.
Why what?
Why do you do this?
Saw Talgron squeeze the trigger. The back of the ultramarine's helmet exploded, and the floor beneath lit up in flame.
Because I am ordered to, he said.